Hey everyone, before we get into it today, if you've ever thought about starting your own podcast or taking your current one to the next level, you have to check out Podigy Podcast. They didn't just help us launch this show, which we need a lot of help with. They made it look and sound amazing with custom artwork, killer music, and they guided us through the launching of the show step by step. Now they handle everything for us, editing, producing, you name it. All we do is hit record and they do the rest. Trust me. If you're serious about podcasting, you need them in your corner. Click the link in the show notes to schedule a free one-on-one podcast game plan session with them. You won't be sorry. Welcome to the Path Podcast that provides transformative insights for authentic success. My name is Chris Weiss, and together with my partners, Stuart Ferguson and Toby Quinton, we make up True Path Consulting, where our mission is to maximize executive performance and drive personal growth by guiding leaders on a journey of self-fulfillment and true success. I wanted to thank you for pressing play on whatever device you're listening to us on today. It means a lot that you're here. Our hope is that through our stories and interviews that you will find something in yourself, something that moves you to get curious, possibly something that triggers you to take action in your life. You see, our goal in this podcast and in all of our coaching partnerships is to help people find their ideal selves without needing that motivation of that personal or professional crisis. We'll bring up topics and curate discussions that'll help you take action to find out how you're showing up in the roles that are or that should be important priority in your life. Ultimately, helping you paint the picture of who you want to be and then walking alongside you to figure out what the heck's getting in your way from becoming your ideal self. We only get one shot at this awesome thing called life, so let's stop being okay with being miserably comfortable and instead be more intentional, following a path of meaning and purpose. With that being said, I'd like to more formally welcome my partners that are going to go on this journey with us. Stuart Ferguson, how the heck are you, buddy?
I'm great, Mr. Weiss. Good to see you. Toby, what's up? I am fully present. I'm feeling a lot of energy towards this podcast, and more importantly, just exciting time. I mean, I don't know how these get pushed out, but you know, last week was a big week for our organization, the launch of our website, launching this podcast. So I'm sitting here just pinching myself, ask if all this is real. You know, these were all concepts 6 months ago, and now we're actually doing it. So I'm just deep gratitude to be here with both you guys. So thanks for having me.
Man, this is what we get to do, huh? How cool is this?
This is work.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I couldn't agree more, Stu. Thanks for that open. And Chris, I'm excited about the fact that we're recording our conversations. You know, like, I think we had months and months and months, if not a year ago, or probably wasn't that long, but like, we're like, man, we should be recording some of these conversations. And not that we're that full of ourselves that we think that, you know, we're just spitting off wonderful pearls of wisdom, but just the recognizing that the three of us at this moment and chapter of our lives and the ages we are and the men that we are and the fathers we're trying to be and sons and brothers and this, that, and the other and friends that we're trying to be, just a great, I'm having a Chris Weiss moment, which I do mean that in a very respectful way, but isn't that cool that we get to kind of do this and plus record? And all kidding aside, I it's one of the many things I love about you, Chris, is just the energy and the excitement of really being where your feet are. And so I'm excited about that and what we're up to today and our conversation that we'll have shortly.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah. So I asked Stu, and I recently went on a trip. I have, eight of my good buddies from Penn State, they're all my fraternity brothers, come up, and you can judge me for being in a fraternity. I really don't give a shit. We had the best time of my life and met these eight gentlemen that still have a profound impact on my life. And I have them, this is the fourth or fifth year I've had them to the lake. And, I don't want to take away from all the other time I have my family and everything, but I look forward to this week, and it's just, you know, they get there and everybody comes at different times. One of my buddies from Long Island ends up showing up on Wednesday sometime, you know, and I meet him up there, and he sleeps half the time, but, cause he's an old man now, but, they all come in and I just get more and more excited as everybody comes in and the welcome and the hugs. And I was sharing this moment with Tobe and Stu and, I'm like, man, we should talk about this. Cause I feel so energized and just so my heart is so full from being around these men. And it's because I get to show up there as me, as my authentic self. I mean, I, you know, they knew me in college. So there's some, you know, there's some really, I mean, in the whole weekend, we just share stupid, funny stories that we did. Thank God there were no cameras back when we were in college. But, most importantly, I just like, I love them. Like they, I love these men. Like they would be the men that would, you two included, would anything I needed in my life, like they would be there for me. And they would show up for me. And we've done that for each other, over the last 25 years, more so now than ever as we get older and, you know, life just happens, that we're starting to show up more and more for each other. But these are the guys that, you know, you sit around a fire and you like talk like deep. And it's not just surfacey bullshit. It's, you know, Tobe will probably talk to you about, you know, the wife asked you how the golf, you know, 18 holes of golf was with your buddies and you really didn't talk about anything. Right. Know. But like Joy asked me that too. And I'm like, we just went out to dinner with, she met us after we played golf and I go, thank God you're here, Joy. Cause now you can ask, you know, Mike and Mark, everything that you wanted to ask, cause that I didn't ask them, right? This is great. So go, you know, ask them the question. But anyway, these are the guys that it's like real, the depth that I'm dying for in my life right now. You know what I mean? Like that I need in my life. I need that. It provides me purpose. It provides me meaning. It provides me connection. And this is 1 week I get to spend with these guys. Now the text banter goes on for many months after and before and stuff, which I love. Like when I get a text from them, I laugh and I always respond to it because it's just a continuation of that depth. And we, you know, bust each other's balls and so on and so forth. But there's just a depth that I've been, and I think what I love to talk to you guys about as we get older, like, me searching for that depth in my life, right? I don't have, I'm on the second part of the hill, I would imagine, right? Going to, and I'm almost 50. So I think I'll probably live to over 100. You know that. But I want to make sure I take advantage of these next 50 years of my life. And I want them to be around people like this, like these seven, eight gentlemen. I'll tell you this one story and then I'll pass it on to you. I was driving. We ended up having to go to a funeral recently of one of my buddies and, he lost his wife to stomach cancer. And it was, you know, we've been able to try to show up for him in any way we can. And it's just been sad, but it's brought the group together. And I was going down with one of my buddies from Pittsburgh and he said, you know, I have a lot of friends. Like I have a lot of friends, but like you guys are the ones that I can tell anything to. Like you're like my real friends. And it so resonated with me, man. I almost got like emotional with him in the car and I go, I know, dude, I like you too. Like you're someone that I can tell anything to. And I'm no fear of judgment and no fear of, you know, retaliation. It's just, and no other thoughts come up. I could just be myself around you and be share things with you. And he's like, yeah. And he shared in that moment with me, which was very validating for me because it's like I love these guys and I think it's shared, but I don't know, I just got really excited coming back from this trip and rejuvenated and just full of love and energy and excitement, and it showed me how important friendship is in life. Like I felt better, like physically better being around these men. And I wanted to share that with you. You guys were excited for me. And then you shared some stories of your own experiences that you felt that. And I thought, hey, dude, let's do a podcast. This is what we get to do now. So let's do a podcast on it. And here we are. So that's my walk in. Love my boys and paying them a little homage and wanted to share a conversation with you guys about it. So.
Hey, well, Chris, hey, thanks. Stu, I'm going to jump in real quick if you don't mind, but you just shared a moment with us, and I know you did, and I also know you knew I was going to come and ask you a little probe on that, but to get that really deep, heartfelt message from that buddy of yours is in this incredible loss, which I feel for him and his family, and I also feel for you, for your friend. What'd that feel like to hear that you are the guy that I can get that level of love and feeling of depth with? I mean, how did that resonate and how that really land with you?
Yeah, it was everything. I'll probably get emotional here, man, because it was that's what you're searching for. You're searching for those relationships. You're searching for those connections. Like, that to me is what this journey was about, man. You know, like, we get to live this one life. I say that in my opening, and like, why not live it with such like meaningful connections? And we get so wrapped up in the bullshit, and the non-meaningful connections are the ones that distract us. And for him, one of my buddies, to say that, and it wasn't just me, it was us as a group. Like, you know, he was speaking to us as a group, and I couldn't agree more. And it meant the world to me, man. And it validated my feelings for these men in my life and the role we play for one another. And to be able to show up for my buddy, which was probably, my dad called me after that. You know, it was probably one of the saddest places I've ever been. Cause yeah, it's just, you see your buddy go through that, but to also see all my buddies come together for him and the drop of that, it was just ton of feels, man. As you can tell, it's only a couple weeks ago. So it was, still real, but, that's what life's about. These feels, the good and the bad, and having people to go through it with you. That's how important it was for me, Tobe. So thanks for asking that.
You got it, buddy. Hey, listen, yeah. I know I can't speak for Stu, but I feel it from Stu as well, is that we're lucky to call you our friend. Yeah. And just to know that at the deepest level, the support that you showed him, but ultimately how much friendship means to you, Chris. I've always felt that from you, always. And I've always felt you're an authentic man, but I also know that there was a deep level of care that you put into the relationships that you build. And whether it's reciprocated or not, you know, again, that it takes two. But boy, man, I just appreciate you slowing down and just, you know, touching on that real deep, deep, deep visceral feeling. And to hear from a man that I love, and specifically, you know, never to, you know, not that this isn't a conversation for both men and women, but it's three men talking about relationships, and it's tough for men. Mm-hmm. I know it's been tough for me in my own journeys, but just tough for men to go to depth. But I just, you know, if I could get all fired up for a moment on a podcast, it would be that we got to stop telling ourselves this bullshit story that we don't want depth. We don't yearn for depth. We don't need depth. That's all just, we're uncomfortable with it. Yeah. That's the answer. And we got to get over ourselves with letting our discomfort get in the way of the richness, Chris, of you being able to be there in a moment in time with your friend that needed you. And I know there was a group, but I guarantee you, knowing you like I do, he was probably looking at you more than most. Because you're that person for him, and you're certainly somebody that in that time of need and ultimate, you know, no control of anything and literally lost his friend and probably his love of his life type of thing. Like, it's just powerful, buddy. And I just appreciate you opening it up this way around friendship, because some probably would think that we're just going to open this podcast up with, isn't it great to have a bunch of friends and just try to have a huge community as big as you can make it with a bunch of people that could, you know, talk about the football game. And if I have another person that tells me what athletic endeavors they've accomplished in their lives that have no relation whatsoever to me, because you guys know me, I'm not an athlete. I'm like, that's not the depth I'm looking for. Now, tell me about the adversity you went through and your commitment to being at the best you can in that aspect of your life. Now we're talking. But anyway, I don't want to get too off the rails, but the depth part. I just ask that we get over, and I know it's not as easy as this, so I understand what I'm saying is ridiculous in some ways, but if we could get men to collectively understand that we all are as deep as our sisters are, and that we yearn for the same level of depth that our sisters typically do better, and my wife's deeper relationships with her friends are deeper than some of the ones that I've had, I think it's there for us, and I think it's there for the taking, and are we willing to go there with it is just what I wanted to touch on. So thanks, Chris, for just being really, really authentic and raw on this call to walk in the subject of friendship.
Yeah, you got it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man, what a great topic. ton of different layers to just the word friendship, right? And for me, it's one of those things that I wrestle with a good amount. And Toby, you and I've had a lot of talk, and Weiss, you and I've had a lot of talk just about relationships in general. And, you know, what I have struggled with over time is feeling that need to have that depth right out of the gate. Like if there isn't that depth, I can move on pretty quick. And I miss the opportunity to really get curious on people. And so I want to back up just a second. Majority of my relationships were all within my job. Most of my friendships, give you a bit about my backstory, and Chris, I'm going to reference our conversation not too long ago, but, I went into the military, came out of the military, went basically a year into college, and then went right into work for the company that I worked 27, 28 years for. And so, you know, where I grew up, my friends, my high school friends, were great, but time had kind of gone. I didn't go to college. They went off to college. They built other relationships, and I started to work. And so I think one of the challenges that I made was confusing, or more importantly, intertwining those two things of work and relationships. And it's important to have relationships, but because that was so all consuming for me, and I put so much energy into my career and into my marriage and into those relationships, there wasn't a lot of time for the people outside of that orbit. And so what ended up happening was I started to find myself in a position where I felt most of my friendships, with the exception of a handful, were incredibly transactional. There wasn't any depth. It was either situational relationships, situational friendships, timing, season, whatever it may be. But that depth was temporary. And so I probably should be a listener more than a contributor on this podcast, because there's a ton of me at 52 that's redefining what friendship means to me at this point in my life. And the people that matter to me the most, see, I think where I got trapped was everybody got the same from me. Everybody got the same transparency, authenticity. And so surface level friends and deep friends probably felt that they were getting the same thing, regardless of effort or time. And so I have been very intentional over the last 6 to 8 months to let the people that mean the most to me know they mean the most to me. And the people that I'm curious about building a deeper relationship with, I'm also letting them know through verbal and nonverbal that I want to be here. I want to be I want to be in this conversation with you. Wherever it goes, I'm here. And what I'm getting in return is that depth, that authenticity. I'm getting exactly what I'm asking for out in the world, because I'm showing up that way, right? I'm showing up eager to connect. But one last thing on this point, and then I'll kick it back to you, Chris, is this is also another concept, is I struggle with acceptance. I want to be accepted by everybody. Mm-hmm. So I run around trying to have deep relationships with a lot of people, and it's to fill my insecurity, right? It's not for political reasons. It's for me to feel comfortable in my own skin in that moment. But I also had to get good to realize that relationships were also empowering enough for me to say, I don't want a relationship with that person. I know better. I know where that's heading. And I think I confused those things a lot and wanted everybody to love Stuart. And at the end, what I ended up doing was hurting Stuart, because I didn't have those trusted advisors. I'm so jealous of your group. I'm building my own, right? And you two are founding members. But that community of being able, we talked about in the last podcast, the ability to be your authentic self with the people that are not judging you, but are there to accept you for whatever version of you shows up, is something that I think, Toby, you said it, I think men in general are yearning for that at a level that I just hadn't experienced before in my life. So there's a lot of people out there that I think if they just had the courage or the capability or the right environment to connect at that deeper level, I think loneliness could go away a little bit quicker than it has today. But I need it so much. When I left, the loneliest I've ever felt in my entire life was the 30 days after I left my organization. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for anything other than the storyline that was in my mind, which is now I'm alone. Now all those connections are dead. All of those relationships are gone, and I've got to start over at 52. And that's probably one of the scariest thoughts I've ever had to process as an adult or a human, is being alone. And so that panic jarred me to a place of like, and Chris, you and I down at the lake, at your lake house, you said something to me that really resonated. I need to hear it, which is, dude, you pick up the phone and call anybody, they'll call you back. It's not a question of whether or not they want the relationship. It's a question of whether or not you want it, that you're going to put in the effort. And that reframed it in a way that it was my choice, and I was empowered to go build it. And your friendship, both of you, has been life changing. Not wanting to get emotional either on the call, but, and I've told both of you this multiple times, my lowest point in my entire life, you two showed up unconditionally. You two showed up with no judgment. You showed up with a lot of banter and maybe some good laughs at me throughout my working through it. But my loyalty to people that show up like that, is just, I don't know that you can put it into words. It goes for a lifetime. And I just haven't had a ton of people show up that way always and consistently. And so when I find them, I don't want to ever lose them. And so the partnership and the commitment, the emotion that I feel from this friendship is a great example of what I'm trying to build outside. So I'm thankful for the ability to call you friends. I had the luxury of calling you coworkers for a long time. I prayed that the friendship was real and was deep, and it was. And that is the fuel that continues to push to build that community bigger. So this topic for me is an important one to probably listen to as much as participate. Thanks for hearing me out.
Yeah, that's huge, man. Hey, Stu, you impacted me when I was working for you. You were great at giving us, you know, rallying cries and things to really grab onto. And the one thing that I grabbed on that really resonated with me was the story of the scuba diver, the deep diver. And I'd love for you to share that, man, because I find myself trying to find, and it's funny, I have the scuba helmet in my basement. It's part of my bar. So when everybody gets drunk, my son had a party down there and all his buddies have it on their head running around, you know, being stupid with it, but they don't know the story behind it. So I got to share the story. I shared the story with my sons so they understand, cause it meant something to me. And I find myself striving for that relationship, probably in too many people.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been times where I do it too many and they'll never be that for me. Nope. And that's the work for me to like be okay with that. Cause I want that in my life. And it's not realistic for me to just have a bunch of deep divers in my life. That's just not realistic. Like you're going to have people that come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. And I've been fortunate and there's been a lot of work that got put into those seven or eight guys, you know, like I invited them. And then, you know, when I was super intentional the first time we were together, just to create some conversation around the fireplace and to create that depth, right? To ignite, but the you know, it's right when they meet you right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's banter and there's fun and there's, you know, poking and laughing and stuff. There's a ton of that, all the shenanigans that we've been through with each other. And I lead a lot of that, right? But there's also a time to just like really check in with each other, like really go there. And when you make that turn, they're always there with me. They've been there every single time with me and it's just been so profound. But, what do you mind just sharing with the audience the deep dive story?
Yeah, no, I would love to. I actually keep mine sitting by my laptop. So it's a important, artifact, I think, for anybody that has been a part of our world. I'll give you this story. So I went through a period of time where I didn't spend a lot I didn't put a lot of effort into my military background. And about 15 years ago, I got very curious and just really recommitted back to kind of the veteran and reconnecting with veterans. And I joined a site and they had this story that was up. And the story was, that in life, you run into three types of people. And in life, as we go through challenges and as life continues to evolve, there are three types of people that tend to show up. The first one being that of a swimmer. And the example is, if our life is the depth of the ocean, that there's three different types of people that show up in your life. And one being that swimmer. And the swimmer shows up. This is someone that cares about you, but we may equate this to like surface level friends. They may be acquaintances. They're people that show up, but really there's no depth. There's no real connection. The second person that you tend to meet in life is that of the snorkeler. Now, this individual has the capability to go deeper into your life, but they can't stay there very long. They can only be there in the depths and the hardest parts of your life for a period of time, because if they stay down there, it would kill them. They've got to go back up for air and come back. And so if you think about all the relationships that you have, the one that is pivotal, that's foundational, is that of the deep diver. And the deep diver has all of the equipment. They have the ability to weather all storms, to get to the darkest, deepest parts of your life and stay there and navigate those waters with you. They also have the care and the commitment to say the things that you may not want to hear. They're the people that have the courage to tell you the things that you need to hear, you may not want to hear. And so when I tell this story, I always talk about my mom. I grew up with a single mom. It was her and I against the world, and we did the best we could. And my mom was everything to me. I can remember at 10 and 11 and 12 crying in her room because I was afraid she was going to die. Like her relationship with me was everything. And now I'm 52, and I talk to my mom once a week at best, maybe twice a week. And the whole point of this is that, and I want to bring it back full circle, because I think it brings in a great next wave of this conversation, which is, who are those people that used to be deep divers in your life? Those are the relationships that I am trying to rekindle, reconnect, but more importantly, create more of. But I think about my mom a lot, and here's someone that worked 3-4 jobs to provide for me, was never missed a soccer, a football game or a soccer game or a basketball game. She went above and beyond to make sure I was her everything. And then life happens and she becomes more of that snorkeler. And then she ultimately became probably that swimmer in my life. And it was until, this conversation and a bunch of others that the intentionality came into play. It's like, no, I'm calling her today. And I can never forget. I called her and I said, hey, mom, this is who you were. This is where we are. And I don't want to be here anymore. And I can never forget my mom saying, you don't know how long a parent waits for this call. Mm-hmm. Just to have that reconnection. So my call is, my reminder, I just wrote down a note a minute ago, is who are those people that were down there and the darkest levels, the most challenging parts of my life? Where are they now? And do they know they mattered in that moment? Because they did. Hence the reason why I wanted to tell you guys how much you meant in that moment for me. And you're both deep divers in my mind. Hopefully I've been that for you as well. And that's the beauty of this partnership and this friendship. But I appreciate you bringing it up. Remember, I haven't thought about that story in a while, but I think our hope, at least in our old company, was our expectation was to strive to be deep divers, be curious mm-hmm. enough and care enough to get down to those depths. So, and it worked, to a large extent. There was a curiosity that was unique. And I think that's one of the benefits of True Path as well.
Love it. That's such a good metaphor, man. Chris, I'm so glad you got him to talk about that. So, Stu, thanks for leaning in there, man. I heard you talk about that before in a meeting, and now to hear it again just kind of takes on a whole nother impacting me in a different way. So, Chris, when you opened today on this, you talked about that group, and I love what you said about that I could just be me. And I think it's just something that's such an interesting, because I say the same thing. I'm going to be going head back to Michigan where I grew up next week. And I'm going to see this four guys that I grew up with. And it's not that we talk all the time. It's not like this, that, and the other, but it's this whole love affair of the unconditional laugh and giggling, remembering the old days. My wife will sometimes be like, how many times can you talk about how you grew up in this neighborhood you grew up in? But it's certainly there's a lot of psychological impacts of like the moment in time it was, the feelings that you had back then, you know, kind of go back to that. But I want to just hang on to that comment you made about I can be me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think, again, the challenge I think for all of us is, and even Stu, I love that you're going to go make sure that people know their impact that they played on you as deep divers and they were there when you needed them. But I think as we move forward as men that are yearning for more depth and more meaning in our relationships, I think that's probably the criteria that we want to, part of the criteria we want to use is finding people that we can be us with. And I do believe that it's more about us than it is them. I think, Chris, you're right. You said a little bit earlier that maybe they don't want to go there. I'm not going to have everyone that's going to reciprocate. And maybe I'm looking for it in too many corners of the room. And, you know, that could be very well true. And I think, again, if we do it more from a point of view of leading ourselves from the inside out, about knowing about ourselves that we want to have more deep, meaningful relationships with other men and putting out to the world through vulnerability, by the way, where everything connects with our path and how our conversations all go, the risk it takes and the vulnerability, because it may not be reciprocated. They may think that we're crazy. I mean, how many guys do you know that we start to go into some depth and corners and they run and run quickly? And one of the tall tale things is an overuse of sarcasm and they'll throw into a lot of humor on that. And not to say the sarcasm the three of us don't love, and we don't love the humor of it all. But when that's all that it is, you're sending me a signal of I'm not interested. And again, I'm okay with that. I don't need, and again, I don't love it when people say necessarily exactly what I'm going to say, which is I don't need 50 friends. Would I want 50 friends with great depth? I'm all in on that. Do I need 50 friends with great depth? I don't need that, but I would want that. And so it's a difference between how I'm looking at things in my life. If I put out there that this is what I want and I'm taking some risks with people, unfortunately, the truth is that most men won't subscribe to it. But again, the thing I want to keep screaming about is don't misconstrue that they don't genuinely maybe want that. Maybe they just haven't been around people that are trying to have that depth with you. And that, you know, I would keep at it with them, especially if you see a lot of characteristics in them that you really admire, respect, appreciate. Those are people I would, you know, keep trying with. But on the same token, you know, there'll be a limit to how much I'll try. But I think there's more of us out there that want what we want than there aren't. And I just think that our job, though, is to just be who we want to be and put it out there and the kind of friends we want to be. And see what comes back to us. And if it's only 2, great. If it's 50, great. But if we can give that to other people, imagine how many people they'll do that with their layers of people. And they'll, you know, and then we'll get to where I would hope most men to be, raising 3 boys. Chris, right. I know you're doing the same.
Yep.
I mean, it's real. The lack of depth, the lack of social, you know, connection that they have. Let's put social media and the isolation that this world is right now for all of our kids, both Stu's kids and our kids. But just this real, like, getting deeper than just the today's headlines and really kind of working through and working on a relationship like that. I fear for our kids in that regard. And I fear is probably the wrong word. I worry for them. It doesn't mean that they can't do it, but it will be because our boys, Kath and I's 3 boys, William, Jack, and Oliver, have chosen to put that out there. And yes, right. It's risky to do so, and it probably won't land on a lot of boys that are reciprocating. But on the same token, it's an honoring of what they want in life. And if we can all get busy in that regard, then I think we'll end up being great friends to people, and we'll end up having more than not.
Love that, man. Yeah. You know, we talk about the league trip a lot with my boys and stuff, and they love it. Like they think, like my oldest, Aiden, tries to replicate it. He went to the lake this week or this year, the summer, with a couple of his buddies from Virginia Tech, and then a couple of his buddies from Peter, like high school, and he kind of merged them together. And then he had his girlfriend there with a couple of her friends. And I think he's learning a little bit about that too, because he definitely wants depth. Like he's just a guy that wants depth in the relationship. And he's starting to see who's responding appropriately with that depth and who's not, who's kind of pulling away or just not that interested in it right now. And it was interesting having that conversation with him and like talking to him about, hey, how was the experience of the lake? Well, it was interesting. You know, I really connected. I really had a fun with blah, 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 blah. But yet like I felt a little disconnected with these people. And it's like, well, yeah, you're growing up, bud. And you're kind of, you're paving your own path, right? Like we named it that for a reason. Like you're paving your path, and not everybody is going to come with you on that path. But to your point, like they might jump back in later. So don't give up. Like you have those. I have two buddies I'm actually hanging out with this week, from high school, and they're two of my dearest friends. I lost touch with them for a long time, years and years and years. But these were guys that, like, you remember your high school bite, like every summer, I mean, I was swimming in his pool, like we were at their house, and like he showed me, like he wants that relationship with me. Like I just talked to him last week, and you know, we got off the phone and we were just shooting the shit about, you know, hey, what are we gonna cook, or what time are you coming up, and blah blah blah, and he gets off and he's like, hey man, love you, can't wait to see you. And I'm like, And I was driving from Indianapolis after I was, you know, my flight got canceled. So I was talking to everybody, but I wasn't feeling love. And I just, dude, I like hurt. It meant something to me. Like he goes, hey man, I love you. And it's like, dude, I love you too. Like, and thanks for saying that. Cause I just don't have many men in my life that be like, hey, I love you. And that's why I think those eight guys at the lake or seven guys at the lake are so special to me, because it's like, yeah, we leave and it's like, hey, I love you, man. And just know, like, I'm here for, I got the scuba gear, brother. Like anything's going on in your life, and I'm there for you at the drop of a hat. And just knowing that is just gives me such, you know, there's a study from Blue Zones. You guys know my nutrition stuff, and I always tell you, I'm going to live to 100 plus years old. And I listen to this.
We want you to, yeah. We're cheering you on.
Yeah, amen. And my friends tell me I'm going to get hit by a bus, but that's sarcastic banter.
That's great friendship.
That's friendship. That's
friendship. All sarcasm, but we do go with that. But you know, it's and what they say is the number one thing. It's not nutrition. It's not genes. It's not any of that. It's friendship and community and relationships. It gives you purpose. It gives you just life. And that is the number one thing for longevity. So, and I felt it, I feel it. And that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about it so much. Cause I think, you know, I was in a session not too long ago, and one of the things we do, and just, we do check-ins, right? And we just find too many teams are out there grinding it out and are moving so fast and kind of in their individual lanes and, you know, aren't picking their head up and asking each other, how you doing? Know how you're really doing. And we just create a moment. We create space for that in some of our team building sessions that we do. And I did that. And the question was, where are you right now? How you doing? That was the question. That was the check-in question. And on several occasions, men particularly, couldn't answer that question. They got emotional, right? Reading the question, they got emotional. And when we started to unpack it and create that space for them to kind of work through the emotions so that their team can understand where they were, it was about friendships. And these folks happened to be, you know, grinding it out, trying to create a career, and career was number one. And they were, you know, they didn't have any time for friends. And you could tell the loss and the emotion that they were feeling, that they had lost touch with the friendships that they had from college and high school and so on and so forth. And work became priority. And hey, you know, I tried to tell them from almost 50, like, welcome to your 20s, guys. Like that's it. No, I don't know. Like, welcome to, like, yeah, part of me is kind of like, dude, happens. Grind it out. Yeah. Like grind it out, brother. But I think you could have it all. So if this and your emotion, if this is a priority, let's do some value exercising. If friendships are truly, truly important to you, then we got to find some space for them, man. Even in your 20s, like we got to find some space. We got to find some purpose for you. You have to be the one to change it, right? You're the only one that controls your life. So if you're feeling this way, you got to go out and change it and create that space for your friends. But it was so interesting. Mid-20s, man, you know, just boom, broke down emotionally because of their lack of friendship. So it just showed me again, it validated just the power, negatively and positively, of like just friendships in your life. I don't know if you have anything on that, Stu.
Well, one of our last podcasts, we talked about loneliness, and we, to your point, like the loneliest age group is that 20 to 20, 26, you know, 21 to 26. And I think it's the beginning of that grinding it out and kind of the change of focus. You know, I go back, I think when I hear you talk or when we're on this topic, the thing that resonates with me is like, you have to be in a place to be a good friend. Like there's also the work on the inside. And it's like, you know, when I lack confidence, I'm not a great friend. I'm probably not all that attractive to want to engage because it's pretty ugly. When I'm in that place of confidence, I have no problems attracting friends, retaining them, keeping them. And so it's like, it comes back to me. It's like that work that we have to do on the inside out. And to Toby's point, like there's lots of people. Another one of your quotes that I love is to be lonely in a crowded room. Right. And there was a lot of those feelings over the years because I wasn't doing the work on myself to find that confidence and find that connection. But you said it all the time, like, my priorities got shifted, and they were the right priorities to shift in my 20s. I focused on my career and my wife and having children and maintaining, building a life. But to your point, I believed I could have had it all. If I would have just made some subtle changes to those relationships, I probably wouldn't have to at 52 call them back to reengage them, you know, 27 years later. It's like there was firmly believe in the power of and that you can have that career, that wife, that family, and you can also maintain those significant relationships that we want to maintain for a lifetime. I'm going to go back and refoster some that I know I missed out on, that people that care deeply for me, but life got in the way. I think I'm also in a different place internally on who I am as Stuart, which again makes a lot more productive relationship in a lot of ways.
I love that. Tob, I'll let you go and say, I just want on that, Stu, one of the action items, and I didn't say this in those team building sessions, was creating contracts with those people. Like, hey, are you going to go make those calls to those friends?
Yeah.
You know, and you like go and do it.
I'll take a contract. I'll take one right now.
There you go. But to your point, like you can have it all if you're intentional. And if you, you know, talk about your priorities and put them and create those values. Like you can do it all. Now I haven't followed up on them. You know, we'll probably do that in the next week or so, but like, hey, how were those conversations? How'd they make you feel? Like, what's the next step? Like, you got to realize, like, you have to put forth the effort. There's not just the people that are deep divers. Like you're down there with them.
They got there because they were a swimmer, became a snorkeler. Right. You know, they went through the whole transition. They got the equipment on the flight down, right? They were ready. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
So what about you, buddy? Just such a good conversation about this. And I just want to, the inside out job, what kind of friend do we want to be? What kind of friendships are we looking to have? Just really, I think the beauty of all of that is we get to control everything in that space. I mean, not everything, but we get to control our parts of it. You know, you don't control everything, you guys know that, you know, you don't pick your family, but you pick your friends. You know, like we get to pick and choose who it is we want in our lives. And some of them to that, you know, that reference to the train stops and whatnot, some will get off and they'll leave and we may get off and leave. And you know, is that a loss? Is that this? Is that you can miss people, but if they're not willing to kind of also meet you where you are and be in relationship with you. I mean, it's just, I told this many moons ago about when I was working with some couples, and, you know, it takes the work on the self. It takes the work on each, you know, part of that relationship. And then you take work on the relationship. So each person, to your point, Stu, of like, I got to work on me and whether the kind of friend I would be. And I know when I'm stressed, I'm not. When I know I'm really confident, I'm great. And that other person needs to be working on themselves. And that's part and parcel of what the problem is that doing the work, as we've referenced in our previous podcast, is incredibly important in your journey of fulfillment and love in the life and ultimately being happy. Is that you're willing to do a job and working on yourself about what kind of person do I want to be in this life and what kind of person, friend, do I want to be in this specific area? So it's just, I think it's a great reminder of, like, you know, you put yourself out there, it might not be in return, but if you're really committed to what you're doing and who you want to be and the kind of friend you want to be, I think that's when it's to your point, Chris, about community and building a bigger bubble for yourself. And there's nothing like it. I mean, you know, just to have people that you can rely on and count on, and to be able to do that for other people is such a great ego hit for us, a purpose hit for us. I mean, we get to show up. And I know for you two, that's part and parcel of the type of people you want to be for people. And you don't get that if you don't have any friends. So it's such a payoff in so many areas for all of us. And I think as men at our ages, and Chris is the young guy, but the plus 50s, me and Stu, you know, teaching and modeling kind of in that tribal way of males to teach those 20-year-olds, Chris, that you were with, and the 30-year-olds and the 40-year-olds were around, of what deep, meaningful conversations and deep, meaningful relationships and deep, meaningful moments that we can share with each other, also with a lot of humor and a lot of making fun and doing things that are in the right way. But blending it all together to just make this wonderful thing called friendship work is, it's our job to lead that and to be that.
Hey, man, we get to, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons when you called me, told me like, hey, let's do that. Like, to get to pay that forward and to be able to provide, you know, coaching to an executive that is a little bit lost in this space and help them reprioritize their values and to show them like, yeah, no, you can have it all and stay in your job and be successful and have good friendships and have a great relationship with your wife and be a great father or mother or whatever, insert position. It's just like, that's what it's all about for me, man. It's just, that's exciting. Like, it's, that's the work that we get to do, which I couldn't be more excited about doing. So yeah, I love it. And by the way, the banter, like, I'm sure I'll get made fun of my buddies for getting emotional in the beginning, and I expect to be, but the cool thing is, like, I know where they're coming from. Like, I know they'll appreciate it, and I know they're all looking for the same thing I am, because they are doing the work, Tobe. Like, I got a text from a buddy of mine that I wasn't like super close with him, but like, now over these trips, like, I've grown to really enjoy being around. Like, he's one of the guys now, and he wrote me the nicest text. I shared it with you guys, just the impact that one of our podcasts had on him. The fact that, you know, you got to be really honest with yourself and know. And like, for him to just send that text to me and saying, man, you guys are doing such great work. There's a component of that in it too. That support, right? Like, my best friend in the world, you know, Wadi, he's my guy, man. Like, if I could, I'm trying to, you know, be around him till my older years, because when I'm around him, I'm happy. I love his wife. I'm rooting for his kids. Like, I'm in it with him, man. And he's down outside DC. I'm in Pittsburgh, but you know, when we get together, it's like we've never been apart, and it's just that type of comfort. And he's my guy. For him to text me after we launched our business last week and just to say, man, I'm so proud of you. Yeah. I don't know if my dad texting me would have meant more. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it, like, I mean, my dad texted me and it's like, yeah, your dad's supposed to do that, right? Like, hey, son, hey, I'm really proud of you. I don't know what the hell you're doing, but I'm really proud of you. And he did, which is exciting. But like, man, for Wadi to be that. And then some of my other guys, like, now there's, you know, our podcast is going on my lake trip guys, and everybody's looking at it, everybody's saying different things. And for them to just be my biggest supporters too. And like, they're rooting for me in life. To know you have that is just, I mean, it's like I said, the power of friendships is real, and you have to invest in them and you have to put energy into them. But man, the return that you get from them is just absolutely profound. And, you know, I think my call to action with anybody that's listening is like, do the work. It's worth it. Like, you will get such return on it, and it'll keep you alive, and it'll give you purpose, and it gives you a sense of well-being. And there's just so many studies on it. So if that's not something that you're focusing on right now or prioritizing right now, take the time to, like Stuart said, like call those folks and be honest with them and just let them know how much you love them and that how much you appreciate them. Cause it'll have a profound impact on you. So anyway,
I know we're going to wrap up here in a minute, but I want to reference something you said at the very beginning, which was also be open to saying yes. I got invited to a boys trip, for first week of November. And historically I would have said no, just being honest. I would have been like, I'm going to be too tired. I got this going on. I don't think I replied. I think it was the fastest reply I've ever given anybody on a text. It was like, yes, I'm in 100% fucking in. The point of that is there's opportunities all around us if we're aware enough to see them. And the other thing is, like, for the 50 and older, I don't know if anybody out here is listening to this, but energy becomes part of the conversation as well. Do I have the energy to continue to invest? Right. And for me, it's been, there's no other place I'd rather put energy than in that space at this phase of my life. And so I'm being incredibly intentional about that. But, this topic, what a great topic, and aligned to, I mean, the reality is my relationship with both of you came from a work environment. You know, we were pushed together, but through going through hardships and going through challenges, either mine or yours, what have you, that trust got built. And so, you know, we've always learned that a relationship is built on two things, mutual trust and respect. And both of those things have to be established over time. And I'm just grateful for the people I do have in my life and this trip I'm going on with seven great buddies. It's that ROI. It's that feeling of belonging that matters, I think, to everybody. But great topic. I'm glad we walked it in.
Love it. Tobe, any last thoughts?
Last words for me would just be, you know, an earlier podcast we talked about, to know me is to know. And so I think to know true path is to know how important and key critical friendships are to us. And we hope to build more with people that we don't even know at this stage of our lives. But we're willing to put in the work as individuals and in men on these journeys and to be role models for other men and other fathers. Because, you know, community, as Chris, you open this whole thing up, is very, very key critical to health and wellness. And, you know, the payoffs far exceed the discomfort and the insecurities and the humor that we like to use to deflect. But if you can stay on the path of, you know, really what kind of friends you want to be and what kind of friends you want to have, I think we're on the right road. So I just love the topic, Chris, that you walked in today for us. And to me, it speaks to who we are as a company, and there are no companies or just people, the three of us. So I just appreciate it, Chris.
Yeah, you got it, man. Hey, I'll close. You guys are two of my dearest friends. I pinch myself that I get to wake up and do this with you guys and build this company. And yeah, usually it's stressful building the company. And yeah, there's been its fair share of stress, and we're all going through different things, and we're at different stages of just life, and life just happens to us. But the fact that you guys met me where I needed you to meet me, and hopefully I'm doing the same for you. I love you guys. And, I feel truly blessed that I get to do this with you. So, thanks for being here. And yeah. And, so we'll finish up there. And again, thank you for joining us on the path. Remember, every journey is unique, and every step you take shapes that journey. Keep exploring, stay curious, and give yourself grace as you forge your path. Until next time, stay true to yourself and keep walking the path. Have a great day.